Hello everyone and welcome back to Is It Peak? Today we'll be discussing Mission Impossible: The Final Reckoning. Joining me for this special occasion are Sinabad,
the one and only,
Imperfect Dan,
yours truly,
and the return of Johnny Cooper 64.
Hello everyone, Johnny Cooper here. A couple nights ago I get a call at 3 a.m. by Agent Films telling me how it's been 3 years since my appearance in Is It Peak, and asked me to return for a Is It Peak on Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning. I told him, Chen, I gotta go to the club the night you're recording this. I'm trying to pull bitches. How is this gonna bring me any hoes? He tells me, I need you to trust me one last time.
So what are our initial thoughts on this movie? Because it's been a bit of a divisive one so far from the initial, like, pre-screenings.
Did everybody expect this to be the most divisive one?
No, I just assumed it was going to be peak.
Yeah, that's what I assumed too.
When I heard about the movie getting, like, bad reviews, I thought it was only from, like, one or two people. And then I kept seeing more on Twitter, and I was like, dude, you know, these people just don't understand. And then I went to go watch it, and it was just boring for the first half of the film. And the second half is pretty peak. But, you know, the full film needs to be pure peak in order for it to be up there with Dead Reckoning and Fallout.
Some people weren't too hot on Dead Reckoning Part 1 either, but I remember liking that movie when I watched it. I just assumed I would like this one just as much, if not more, and I liked some of it.
Dead Reckoning was my second favorite of the Mission Impossible films, so I had pretty high expectations for this one.
And what's a verdict?
I think it's kind of, it had like fun parts in like the first half. It wasn't like all boring. The scenes with Vig Rames and Tom Cruise were really good. But yeah, I think even like the submarine sequence, I wasn't really a huge on. But I think still like the final act was worth the wait. Made it a satisfying conclusion.
Yeah, I think I'm about on the same wavelength as you, actually. I didn't really care for the Ving Rhames stuff because I just thought it was like overdramatic. But yeah, the last sequence is like peak, so it's all good.
I mean, I'm not too far away. I'm still trying to like figure out what I really think as a whole. I saw the Dead Reckoning like a few days before. Like, I didn't see it when it came out. So when I saw Dead Reckoning, I thought it was on the higher tier of the MI films, particularly like that airport sequence. That's probably like my favorite part of the movie. This one just, I don't know, the pacing of this one definitely wasn't as engaging as all the other Christopher McQuarrie, I think that's his name, movies. You know, everybody talked about the first hour. You know, there's some stuff there, like the Luther stuff. I think the problem is, like, the film really, like, holds your hands for, like, people that haven't seen all the other movies. I think half of it is, like, you really, like, just don't have to do that.
Yeah, I was going to say a quarter of the film is probably just a bunch of flashbacks to the older Mission Impossible films.
Yeah, and like alternate sequences that look weird.
Well, I mean, the movie opens with a fucking recap, which I actually kind of liked. It was like Angela Bassett gassing up Ethan Hunt as the coolest guy ever while just showing footage from the previous movies, which was pretty cool. I mean, for a final movie, I guess it's appropriate. I feel like some of the flashbacks were necessary because, like, I didn't remember some of that shit. Like, some of them are just so, like, pointless and they happen so frequently that it just kind of distracted me mostly.
I do like how they are doing connections to older movies. Like the rabbit's foot thing, I thought that was, like, an interesting little plot twist. I think my problem with the way they wrote or they try to connect with some of the movies is I wish there was more of a buildup from, like, maybe the Dead Reckoning. Am I the only one that thinks this? Like, that it all kind of felt like, oh, they just added this as a twist. They could have maybe built this up a little more between this two-part finale.
It definitely feels like the kind of thing that they shoved in, like, last minute. Well, because this is originally meant to be a part one and a part two. And this movie does not feel like a part two to Dead Reckoning. It just feels like another movie, to me at least. Because it's like completely different tonally. Dead Reckoning was kind of like funny and It had dark moments, but also like more lighthearted, I want to say. But this one is like fucking depressing and doesn't maintain that same kind of visual style that the Dead Reckoning had either, which was very like, oh, we got the Dutch angles and stuff from the first movie. And then this one looks like, doesn't look like that one at all.
No, yeah, it wasn't funny at all. That's kind of one of the problems I didn't like say at first. Like, it doesn't have the Mission Impossible energy, I guess.
Is Mission Impossible a series that needs to be like fucking melodramatic and like depressing?
I think the first one is.
Oh yeah, I guess it is. But at this point, Mission Impossible has changed a lot from how it was in the first movie. Like, the first movie is barely an action movie. It has like two action scenes, and now that's like what the whole things are about, and they're like kind of wacky. This one, I guess it's part of them trying to like tie it all back together and try to act like this is all one cohesive story when it wasn't. So then you have things like Shea Whigham being fucking what's his face's son from the first movie.
Yeah, they were just dumb.
Yes, who I don't get what Shea Whigham's character even like was supposed to be, or like what did he add to the movie? Because he chased him around a lot in Dead Reckoning, and then in this one he just kind of stands back, and then at the end he just like forgives him for no reason, and then the movie ends.
I don't have an issue with this character, honestly. But I mean, I get where you're coming from for sure.
He was a cool character in Dead Reckoning because he was just like ridiculous. Like, I just want to get Ethan Hunt. And then in this one, he's just lost all his aura.
Yeah, I mean, it's another case of like they could have built his motivations a little more rather than just like adding it on to this movie. The whole like the connection with like him and his dad, I feel like they could have like teased that out a little bit in the previous movie instead of just adding it all to this movie.
And that was kind of funny. The other guy with those, I forgot his character's name, that was Shea Whigham in the first movie, just like becomes like a loyal patron to Ethan.
Yeah, his character also was just like, he was just part of a crew, and like, I want to talk about that a bit later, like the crew itself, but the writing was really weird, and ever since I found out that these Macquarie ones have like barely any script and they just kind of wing it, like, it feels really obvious in this one especially.
It kind of feels obvious in Fallout too. It's just the difference is like, I think it worked in Fallout. It's like, there's a bunch of just like big sequences like lumped together, especially like in the last like 1 hour or so in the movie. To me, it didn't feel like they wrote that, and it just felt like they just improvised that. I don't know, it just worked better with that movie. Maybe it just needed a bit more of a planning, especially if you're gonna try to tie this to other movies in the past.
Fallout and Rogue Nation and the other ones were like telling much simpler stories as well. Like, this one's trying a bit more dense with like the fucking entity, and there's a lot more plot lines going on and stuff, but they're still just doing the same like we'll just figure it out on the fly thing, and it kind of started to.
And the nuclear shit.
The what?
The nuclear holocaust like stuff.
Didn't Ghost Protocol kind of had a similar storyline, or am I wrong?
Well, you want to talk about similar storylines, the end of Fallout is the exact same as the end of this movie, like the last, like the climax.
Yeah, well, with that film, it was only just like one nuclear bomb, wasn't it?
That's true. I mean, if you're doing a final Mission Impossible movie, you kind of got to bring out the nukes, because like Fallout already set the mood, so you have to top that, I guess. What could be better than the entire world just fucking imploding if Ethan Hunt doesn't get that one thing?
I'll say one thing I did like about like all the expository AI Ethan Deadfoot stuff. Fallout was kind of the first movie where like they did the whole like Ethan would like save his friend over like the world type thing, and then they were trying to like break down like Ethan's morality. And I like how they kind of built upon that a little bit here, where because, you know, he was trying to save his wife in the third movie and like released Rabbit's foot, that kind of led to the creation of the entity. So I find that kind of interesting that there is this grapple whether Ethan wants to save his friends or like could he save the world as well.
I might be misremembering, but how exactly does the Rabbit's foot become the entity? I guess we didn't know what the Rabbit's foot was, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, they never explain it. They're just like, yeah, it's connected somehow. It's supposed to be like the virus or whatever.
And look, I'll be honest, I still don't entirely know how the entity works either, but that just might be me being a bit dumb.
I don't think anyone does.
If we kill the entity, it will destroy all of cyberspace. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, are you telling me the internet's going to stop working or what? What is cyberspace? It's fucking Sonic Frontiers level. I think it's worth destroying cyberspace to stop a bunch of nukes going off, but that's just me.
Go back to primitive times.
But yeah, this is going to kind of lead in, because the next thing I had was like, what did we think of the entity and also Gabriel, I guess, as like the threat of both of these last movies? Because I don't know, it just didn't really work for me.
It worked better in the last one, because in the last one, there was like real consequences that came out of like what the AI did with Ilsa. That's kind of crazy to say, because like Luther also did die as a result of what Gabriel did. It's just, I don't know, these death scenes to me feel like they just don't have the proper way to them. Both the Ilsa scene and I think the Luther scene might be a bit better, but I just feel like they just wasn't given the proper weight. Like Luther has been there since like the first MI movie, and it just, I don't know.
That is true, but also Ilsa is like a real character who was like developed over like the three movies she was in, but like Luther is like, he's just the tech guy. Like, I feel like he did not need to get some... I know he's in all the movies and stuff, but he's not like some fucking awesome character. So like...
Luther is like Ethan's best friend. Like he's the only... He's like his best... He's been there since the beginning, basically. I was going to say, I think Gabriel is like a really good antagonist, but they didn't like use him well in front of...
Well, he was barely in this movie. I don't remember much of him from the first one, but was he like fucking crazy, wacky in that one? I remember being like cold and calculated. And then in this one, he's like the fucking Joker of Mission Impossible, which I did like. I loved how ridiculous he was like during the whole biplane thing.
You'll never catch me, Ethan.
Yeah, it felt like a completely different character.
Yeah, he was saying a bunch of like NPC lines.
So did the like the whole AI thing, like did it feel more threatening in the first movie or the second movie? I want to ask y'all that.
Well, in the first movie, the AI in the first movie was doing shit like confusing. It was like making Ethan and his team like do the wrong things, like when it was misdirecting him during like the nightclub thing. And then, so I felt kind of like, whoa, this AI is fucking, can't do shit about it. But then in this one, it doesn't do fucking anything other than like threaten to blow people up until they just put it on a USB stick.
Yeah, it wasn't very threatening in this one. It just kind of like, it could maybe affect people like Ethan by interacting with it. And maybe there'll be a nuclear war, but who knows? It just felt like lack of stakes.
I don't like that we heard the entity just like talk in like a scary voice. Oh, yeah, like I feel like as an evil AI, it would have been cool if it was just like some fucking, oh, it's just like some computer thing that we can't communicate with or anything. It's just like evil. But then like Tom Cruise gets in this like little box and like, I'm the entity, I'm evil, I'm going to blow your friends up, Ethan, haha. And also, they're trying to stop Gabriel from getting the entity because he'll, like, control the entity. But what is Gabriel going to do when he controls the entity? Because maybe they said that in Dead Reckoning, but I'm not clear on what he's going to do. Is he just going to blow people up as well, or what?
I think they assume that, like, he's, like, a terrorist or something.
Yeah, a lot of stuff are underdeveloped in this final film. Like, I think Dead Reckoning was building up to stuff, and they just never continued off of it with Final Reckoning. Like, the whole, like, Gabriel and Ethan, like, backstory with, like, Ethan's, like, girlfriend or something. His Latina girlfriend. Because I'm pretty sure, like, she was supposed to be in, like, more scenes in Final Reckoning. They cut, like, the whole... Actually, as a matter of fact, the opening was going to be completely different. It was going to be a 20-minute, like, flashback. And they were going to, like, CGI Tom Cruise to look younger. And it was going to explain, like, the whole, like, rivalry between him and Gabriel. And, like, the Latina girlfriend. And they completely just cut that whole thing off. Yeah, then it just makes Gabriel into, like, a goofy little villain, I guess, with, like, not much backstory.
Well, I'm glad that didn't do a whole sequence with, like, a Dial of Destiny Tom Cruise, but, like, I still feel that whole thing with his Ethan's, like, Latina girlfriend just being shot by him just feels, like, so shoehorned in. Like, you're gonna introduce a new backstory for Ethan in, like, the last movies. And also, Ethan already has a girlfriend. What's her face? From MI3.
He's got a bunch of them, dude.
I'm surprised they didn't bring her back, honestly, for this last one. Although, I guess they already did Ben and Fallout, so you can't just do it again. Like, maybe Gabriel could be like, oh, now I'm going to kill your other girlfriend, Ethan. And I also killed Ilsa, so I'm just going to kill all your girlfriends. Gabriel's just like, I don't know. I like him in this movie because he's just funny, but he's not the most intimidating guy ever.
Do you think Gabriel was inspired by Lalo Salamanca?
Yeah, I think there is actually a lot of comparisons. I
felt like the Gabriel's best moments are kind of like the Philip Seymour Hoffman moment when he was threatening to kill Julia. I feel like it's kind of the same thing. But Sinbad, you in particular, do you feel like it was done better in like MI3?
Yeah, I think mostly because that was to do with Philip Seymour Hoffman's acting. Like you felt like he was like really threatening in that movie. Narratively, I guess Gabriel was more of a threat in like Dead Reckoning.
I think they should have pulled a Hunger Games Sunrise on the Reaping and have Jesse Plemons show up as Philip Seymour Hoffman's son to be the new villain. Okay, I want to talk about, so every Mission Impossible movie, other than maybe the first one, has like the crew, like the cast of people who we follow on their wacky adventure. And we had a pretty established crew in the past few movies. It was Benji, Ving Rhames, Ilsa, and Tom Cruise, aka Ethan. And then they killed off Ilsa, and then they also kill off Lufa, and we got Hayley Atwell in the mix as of the last movie. So now the crew is like completely different, and they just don't feel like this, they just don't have that aura that they did a few movies ago.
I think Hayley Atwell is a great addition to the cast. I mean, she does feel like she's replacing Elsa, but I mean, I liked her. I think she works well with Ethan, but more so in like Dead Reckoning than in the Final Reckoning. I don't think they got like as many cool scenes together than in the previous films.
I don't think she had much to do in this movie at all.
She was like the main like other character in Dead Reckoning. She was like the plot device character. And then in this movie, she does like nothing. Well, she does things obviously, but she has like no distinct journey or anything of her own. Like I guess in the other one, she was learning to like become an IMF agent. And then in this movie, she is just an IMF agent.
She had a really good arc in Dead Reckoning, and the Final Reckoning just felt like a continuation of that. So if anything, I felt like her character is probably the most consistent part of these two movies.
But also, I feel like Benji especially, like he was one of like the funniest characters in like Rogue Nation especially. In this movie, he's just like, once again, it just feels like he's just there and not having any like good bits or anything. It's hard to describe because I don't just want them to be funny moments, but it just felt like something was missing. And it felt like Simon Pegg was kind of checked out as well.
I think he had like good bits at the end when he was like falling asleep and they had to hit him and stuff. That was funny.
Oh yeah, and I also forgot about what's her name? Pom Clementif, aka whatever her name is, Paris, who's also just in this movie, not doing much.
Yeah, Ethan was like the real main focus on this film. Like all the other characters were sidelined.
Yeah, because the other movies, especially like Rogue Nation, are more like an ensemble thing. But this movie is like the Ethan Hunt movie, which I think is fine for the last movie. But also it just kind of got to a point where every time it cut away from Ethan to like the other guys on my little mission, I just was waiting for it to get back to the good stuff.
You guys think the action set pieces here, like, do y'all think it lived up to everything else that came before? Or?
Yes.
Not all of them, but...
Well, there's only two of them.
The submarine one was too long, if you want to talk about that.
Well, people on Twitter were gassing up that submarine, and I like that it was different, and I love the atmosphere, but also, you know, it ain't no biplane sequence, that's all I'll say.
Didn't Rogue Nation have one where it's like he had to be underwater?
Well, when I heard there was going to be an underwater thing in this movie, I was like, oh, they're just like doing that again. But I liked that this one was a lot different and a lot more involved. But I do feel like it went for a bit too long. And people online were saying like, oh my God, this is the most tense I've ever been watching a movie. I'm like,
yes,
really?
I don't see that. I don't.
Yeah, oh yeah,
don't
Tom agree. Cruise is definitely going to drown in this scene, guys.
The way it ended, I think, was amazing. Like, him, like, taking out the outfits and, like, him trying to swim up.
That was awesome, but I was also, not that it matters, but I was thinking, like, isn't the water pressure insane down there? Like, wouldn't he just, like, die as soon as he took that thing off?
I think he would, yeah.
How much of it was practical? Because, like, there's scenes near the end of the submarine scene where Ethan Hunt gets, like, hit by the submarines and then, like, there's, like, the propeller about to, like, chop him off. Like, how much is that, like, actually, like, filmed underwater? Or is that, like, all just CGI?
I think it's all filmed underwater, definitely. Especially when we're in the submarine. But I assume the parts where he's in the open water are, like, I doubt they had submarines swimming around.
Because if it's all practical, I think that's probably, like, way cooler than, like, the flight sequence.
Yeah, I think it's technically a more impressive sequence from a filmmaking perspective, but I don't know. I love me a high adrenaline, like, plane sequence, I guess. I'm glad that the two set pieces we get are, like, completely different. My only problem is that there's only two of them, and we don't have more. I was thinking for, like, a final Mission Impossible movie, they should do, like, every type of action set piece I can think of. Like, give us, like, another, like, great motorbike chase, another fucking car chase, just like all of that stuff from the previous movies. Just do it all on another level, kind of like Fallout was, because Fallout had like everything. It had an awesome motorbike chase and the running bit and the helicopter, and this one just didn't. I felt like they could have done a lot more. Maybe they spent all their budget on that submarine or something.
I don't know if this is the right way of saying it, but it felt more like it was holding itself back, and it felt like more like reflective and contemplative in that sense. Usually, like, the part one of a movie is, like, the more introspective one. And then the second part's usually where they go all out. In this one, it's basically the reverse.
Ideally, you would just put all that plot into one movie and just cut out a lot of bullshit, and I think it would be, like, awesome, but, you know.
I think inside both of these movies would be, like, the best Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah, there's one scene in, like, the whole submarine sequence where Tom Cruise is, like, turning the crank, and it changes, like, the aspect ratio. I don't know if you
Did you watch this in IMAX, Cooper?
Yeah, I watched this in IMAX.
That is awesome. Was it just the submarine and the plane parts that were in the, like, IMAX?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah, that's, I expected that, but yeah, I wish I could have seen this in IMAX. That would have been cool.
Do you not have an IMAX over there?
Not in my fucking state, bro, no. I have to take a plane to Melbourne.
I literally have, like, 6 IMAXs around my area.
Oh my God.
Which is probably why Tom Cruise visited.
I had to drive, like, 2 hours.
I wish I only had to drive 2 hours, bro. If I had to drive 2 hours, I would go to IMAX, like, every month. While we're on the topic, I guess we're talking about big epic action scenes. Should we just jump into the third act, like, final set piece, which is basically a remake of the Fallout one with Ethan chasing after a dude in some flying vehicles to get a thing while everyone else tries to defuse a bomb or whatever. But it just had, like, a bunch of extra steps. We need to get the podcover to put this other thing in to get the entity to go into the USB stick. And then we have to take out the USB stick. And it just felt like this could have been simplified.
I feel like they just needed something to go along with Ethan in the plane.
Yeah, every time I cut away from the plane, I'm like, get back to the fucking plane.
Yeah, there was a lot of defusing bombs and running. Like, it was kind of weird. I was confused by it.
Well, yeah, and then they had this part where they're like, oh, we'll, like, sacrifice ourselves to blow up a bomb while you guys go into a thing. And then Don Lo's just like, oh, wait, we could just do it this way and then we'll be able to escape as well. So no one died, which, I mean, I guess there's already enough death in these two movies, but, like, I don't remember how Benji got stabbed.
No, he got shot by Gabriel's goons. I actually didn't think it was, like, Gabriel's goons. I thought it was going to be Jeremy Renner and, like, the Mission Impossible cast from, like, the 4th film.
They were going to have the portals moment.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be the portals moment where they were going to, like, show up and, like, save Ethan. And it would have been so cool.
I was surprised that they didn't even mention Jeremy Renner's dude. Like, I guess he was only in 2 movies, but, like, it just feels weird how he vanished. I know why he did, because, like, he had shit to do, but it just felt weird.
I think there's been some drama. There was drama surrounding Tom Cruise. He was going to be the Nets' Ethan Hunt, and Tom Cruise kind of, like, pushed Jeremy Renner out because he wanted to stay.
Yeah, but then Jeremy Renner was still fun as, like, that, as just, like, a side character in Rogue Nation. So, like,
I heard originally he was going to play Nick Offerman's character in this movie. Like, he wasn't going to be, like, in, like, Ethan's group, but he was going to be, like, with the president and everything. And
that would have been good, actually, because it's not like, because I guess Jeremy Renner fucked himself up with a snowplow, but, like, that role doesn't require anything too crazy.
If he pulled up in a wheelchair, that'd be, like, so peak.
He should just casually be like, oh, yeah, I was just in some crazy mission. I'm in a wheelchair now.
Wait, did y'all prefer the biplane sequence over the chopper scene in Fallout?
Yeah, I think it was better.
It was fucking insane, bro. It was, like, everything I wanted and more. And, like, people were complaining because they were showing it in the trailers, kind of like they did with a motorbike jump in Dead Reckoning. But the motorbike jump was literally just that, while the plane thing is, like, a whole half hour, crazy, over-the-top, epic, awesome thing.
I think where it really got intense was, like, when Ethan just did a free fall and just, like, tried to get the AI thing working.
Can we talk about how he was, once Gabriel was gone, he was in the plane and he was going to put the thing in the podcover to, like, save the day. And then he decided to jump out of the plane first instead and then try to do it in the air for some fucking reason. Why couldn't he just pop it in first? It's like, it's not that difficult.
I was also confused by, like, Gabriel said there's no more parachutes or something. And then he happened to have a parachute anyways. And then it went on fire, and then there was another one.
It went on fire, then it cut away, and then he was on the ground, and it was all good, which I thought was weird.
Yeah, I think there was a backup parachute, like, third backup.
That'd be, yeah, Gabriel thinks he has the only parachute, but secretly Ethan had 3 parachutes.
I feel like Loki, if he had died in that scene, that would have been tough.
I thought for a second, maybe.
But I guess it's, like, in character that he would find a way.
I think people were expecting him to die because of, like, No Time to Die comparisons, but I don't know. If anyone thought Ethan was going to die in this movie, I think they're pretty stupid because this is, like, fucking Tom Cruise, and he'll want to be able to come back if he wants to, you know?
Yeah, the way this movie ends leaves it open to, like, you know, like, more films.
Well, yeah, this film is billed as, like, a final movie, and I guess it does feel like one mostly. Like, the stakes are at the highest, but also the ending is just, like, it just kind of feels like the ending of another movie. Like, it doesn't feel like a send-off or anything. I guess he would never retire,
So when they trusted him with the with that drive that had the entity inside, like, what did y'all think of that?
I think they needed to trust him one last time.
Yeah, that was the whole point of the film, dude, is to trust Ethan one last time.
I thought he was going to destroy it.
Well, why does he suddenly feel like, oh, maybe I can just control the entity? Or is he just going to put the USB stick, like, is he just going to put it in, like, a drawer somewhere? Because I feel like a much better ending would have just been him just, like, destroying it real quick, and then it just, like, cuts to credits. Like, that would have been, like, cool.
Because I thought, like, the whole point of his character, like, the whole point of what he was saying is, like, nobody should be trusted with that type of power.
Yeah, he changes his mind for reasons unknown. He changes his mind off screen.
I don't know if it's implied that he changed his mind, but it's just to say the team, I guess, just trusted him.
What if it's more like if Ethan destroys it, then like the entity escapes or whatever? Like, what if it's something like that?
Oh, yeah, I guess maybe Ethan doesn't want to destroy cyberspace or whatever.
And Gabriel had a really brutal death.
Yeah, it was so funny.
I didn't get it. So like his face got split in half, right?
It just split on the plane, yeah.
Yeah, and I love that part when Ethan, like, grabs his arm and, like, he, like, breaks his arm against the thing and he's just, like, screaming maniacally. So stupid in a good way. It was so ridiculous. I feel like they needed to make Gabriel a much more... He needed to be in the movie, like, way more. He should have, like, kept showing up to just, like, fuck with Ethan or something. I don't know. He should have been down there in the submarine waiting for him.
There should have been more Gabriel and less Angela Bassett.
There's, like, this one scene where, like, Nick Offerman tells, like, one soldier to give him, like, a gun or something. And it felt like he was going to shoot the president or, like, threaten the president to, like, press the button.
I thought he was going to kill himself.
I thought he was going to be, like, the villain in, like, that little subplot storyline. But then he ends up, like, saving the day. I don't know. It felt, like, pretty weird to me. I don't know if you guys felt that way, too.
I don't know about you guys, but when I watch these movies, like, when I came out of that movie, I just wanted to, like, run home really fast. Like, I always...
Like Ethan home?
I'm in such an upbeat mood. Yeah, I wanted to just sprint home.
I probably checked my phone, like, 3 times during the submarine sequence.
Are you kidding me?
No, I mean, I did check... I checked the time because I was like, man, this is really long, isn't it?
I think it was, I don't know, I think I actually like the scene the most out of you guys, apparently.
It was good, it's just too long.
I ran out of soda, and, you know, soda is what was giving me, like, energy and shit, so I was debating whether to go and get some more, but, like,
Damn.
Because, yeah, at that point, I was kind of, like, checking out of the film, you know, saying, like, man, dude, it's so disappointing. But that was, like, halfway through the movie, so, yeah, I expected the second half to be way better, which it was.
Well, there was a cool sequence. It was fun when they had what's his name? Tremel Tillman and the Marine crew. That was fun.
Oh, yeah, that part was awesome. Did we already talk about how this is a good ending to the series? We kind of did. I think it's fine, though. Like, I didn't really want him to die or, like, retire or anything.
Yeah, I didn't expect to be anything crazy. I thought it was satisfying. And I did like how they played the Ving Rhames speech at the end. I thought it
was... Oh, yeah, that was good. That was good. Yeah, that was worth murdering him for.
Yeah, I think the only way to make this feel like a true, like, epic conclusion to the entire franchise is if you brought, like I said before, like, if you brought Jeremy Renner back, you know, all the old Mission Impossible, like, IMF agents for, like, this final act, then it would have felt like an epic conclusion and, like, a true, I guess, close book to the series. But, yeah, like...
That would be cool, but also there's already too many characters in this movie with nothing to do, so they probably would just end up being lame. I do think they could have put Jeremy Renner in there if they had the option, definitely.
I think he probably just didn't want to do it. His ego is too big.
So where does this film stack up against the other ones for you guys? Like, are we thinking, like, is this like a top tier Mission Impossible, bottom tier, somewhere in the middle?
I think this would be like towards the bottom. I think so. Mission Impossible 2 is probably the worst one to me, even though I still like it. That's where I put Final Reckoning, right above Mission Impossible 2. Then I'd have the rest, like Rogue Nation, Ghost Protocol, MI3, the first one, Dead Reckoning, and Fallout. That might be a little controversial over ranking, but...
Is MI3 really that high?
Yeah, I think it's really fun. It's got a great cast. It's got great action set pieces. I think, like, the characterization of Ethan is, like, some of the best in the series in that one. It doesn't look visually great, but... I mean,
yeah, it looks really bad, that movie, but I don't remember much of it. I watched it once a while ago, like years ago. I only remember Philip Seymour Hoffman and the part where he runs.
My ranking? Well, I'm looking at my letterbox. This is the only way I'd be able to remember like fucking 8 of these movies. My favorite one from what I'm looking at right now, according to my letterbox, is Fallout. Fallout is my favorite Mission Impossible film, followed by Dead Reckoning. And then I got a Ghost Protocol followed by Rogue Nation, then Mission Impossible 3, and then Mission Impossible 1, and the worst one being the second film. But if I were to put Final Reckoning in here, I think I'd put it in sixth place. I think it's worse than Mission Impossible 3. That's just my opinion. I think it's so weak, honestly, and I'd probably have to go back on my letterbox and like give it like 3.5 stars maybe for Final Reckoning. That's how disappointing of a conclusion I think the movie is. I mean, I still like it. I think all Mission Impossible films, besides the second one, are great, but it's definitely, in my opinion, I think it's pretty weak.
Yeah, I think we got to make sure people know that, like, we do like this movie and, like, most of the movies. It's just, like, when you're comparing it to the other ones, you know, because they're all so good.
So my least favorite one is MI2. Then I'd say this movie, probably. But again, I think this one could probably grow on me over time. I just think it's a case of, like, are you a big enough, like, if you really, like, adore the series, then I feel like you're going to like this finale a lot. I'm, like, a casual Mission Impossible fan, so, yeah, it's, like, second to last. And then after that, I would say MI 1 or 3, one of those two. And then after that, Ghost Protocol, then Rogue Nation, and Dead Reckoning, then Fallout. I think Fallout is still the best one. They haven't really topped it since.
Yeah, okay. As for me, I actually have not seen Mission Impossible 2. I planned on rewatching all of them before this movie, but I had a Succession video to finish, so I couldn't. So, but based off, I would say this movie is definitely the least good of the Christopher McQuarrie one, so the last like four movies. I'd put all of those above this one. I would also put Ghost Protocol above this one. I think I would rather watch this than Mission Impossible 3.
I think you need to rewatch Mission Impossible 3.
I do need to rewatch it. I'm not a huge fan of the first movie either. Like, I think it's really good, but I watched the first Mission Impossible movie I watched was Rogue Nation. So my perspective on it is kind of based off the McQuarrie movies, which are like big action movies. So I think Mission 1 is good as its own thing, like separately, but compared to the other ones, I think I'd rather watch even The Final Reckoning.
But honestly, talking through this movie, I realized I don't like it as much as I thought I did.
Yeah, I don't see myself rewatching from beginning to end like anytime soon. I'll definitely be watching clips of that plane thing for ages, but yeah, I think as an overall package, I do like it. So could have been worse, could have been better. But here's a really important topic. What do you guys think of Ethan's haircut in this movie? Because that's a hotly contested topic on Twitter, his haircuts in all the movies.
It's way better than his haircut in Dead Reckoning. Dead Reckoning is like his worst haircut ever.
You're so true, so right. I agree with Cooper.
Dead Reckoning, Fallout, all mid.
I don't like the short hair. Ethan is boring.
I think they made it like long so when he's on the plane, you could like see it. Like he was actually there, so people know.
Yeah, true. I think his hair, I think he might actually look the best in this one. I like that he actually looks kind of older in this one.
His best look is in Mission Impossible 2, which is the worst film in the series. But
I guess I haven't seen that one, but I like his looks in Ghost Protocol and Rogue Nation.
And Lane was a good villain.
They should have brought him back.
He was in two movies already. That's enough. They should have done Mission Impossible No Way Home with all the villains. Jesse Plemons as a... What's-his-face's son.
And you got, like, Shia Wiggum's, like, character as the son of, like, the main villain from the first movie.
It's about generations. It's a generational trauma.
That's what they should call a Mission Impossible Generations.
Oh, my God. That sounds sick.
Star Trek-ass name.
And the poster's like Mission Impossible 1, Ethan, and then, like, Final Reckoning, Ethan, like, side by side.
Wasn't the real poster?
Yeah, there is that, like, poster of that's, like, a recreation of the first movie's one, but with older Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I actually got the poster because I went to the premiere for the early fan event or something, which was literally still like the same day the movie came out here in the U.S.
But, and still like a week after I got to watch it.
Yeah,
I will say the poster for this movie with like him on the plane, like that is a tough poster. Like I actually kind of want to get that poster and like frame it. Can we also talk about how this movie is actually a Christian allegory?
Is it now? How so?
Who's the entity in this allegory?
The entity is the anti-god. The key is like a cross. There's like three major characters.
You mean Antichrist?
It's like the Holy Trinity.
Oh yeah, I forgot the key is like looks like a crucifix.
You have a cruciform key. That's what it's called. Did any of you guys get that popcorn bucket?
We were selling it. We were selling it the other day.
The only popcorn bucket I have from a movie is for Chicken Jockey from Minecraft. Also, where did Vanessa Kirby go, aka the White Widow, aka my profile picture?
I think they just, I don't know. She's probably busy, honestly.
I mean, I guess she didn't really have a role in this one, but also...
She could have been in it if they wanted to.
Does anyone have any final thoughts?
I would like to say I like it. I think it kind of sucks that they never went more bonkers than Mission Impossible Fallout. That was really my only expectation.
I like it, and I'm excited for Tom Cruise to do other shit now.
I think Dead Reckoning comes very close to Fallout. I think they're almost, like, tied, to be honest. I think Fallout
only
gets, like, 1 point, like, extra or whatever. But, and this film is, like I said before, it's so disappointing because, like, Dead Reckoning just sets up so much and they don't follow through with it. And, like, they don't bring, like Vanessa Kirby to this and, like, Jeremy Renner. I still kind of like it, you know, but as a conclusion to like 8 films, they could have done better. Yeah, I just want to say that I got to meet Tom Cruise. Right? I didn't personally like shook hands with him, but I got to see him in person. The only one that I did shake hands with was Mark Cuban, who was there for some reason.
Oh, you looks like you really won that and you got a real victory. Did Tom Cruise say anything about popcorn?
Sadly, no. He was just waving at people. And then he went back upstairs because like the theater that I that he was in, he actually went to 3 theaters near my place. He first went to like the Cinemark that has a IMAX 70mm, which is like 3 miles away from where I live. He went there first. And so what I did is that I watched the movie like at 2 p.m., but I knew he was going to show up for like later. Like at 5 p.m. because he was visiting like San Antonio, which is like 4 hours away from like Dallas, which is where I live. And I show up to Cinemark because I assumed he was going to show up there. And I was 1 hour late. I go there and the people there, they tell me, yeah, you're just late. You missed him like by an hour ago. So I'm like, shit, you know, now he's going to the this other theater called like North Park, which is it's like right in like downtown Dallas. And Tom Cruise said he was going to go to Dallas. So that, you know, that's like the most popular, I guess, like theater. But I kind of like pinpointed to where he was going. So I quickly went to North Park and I bought a fake ticket to go see Lilo and Stitch, which I didn't actually go see. And I was just waiting in like the lobby, and then everybody started screaming when Tom Cruise came downstairs. And they were doing like a whole like red carpet and everything. And yeah, he only came downstairs for like less than a minute, and then he went back upstairs. And all the IMAX screenings for that like AMC got canceled because they reserved it for like the crew or whatever that were there. Which weren't even crew, it was just like Tom Cruise, the director, fucking Mark Cuban, who's not even part of the movie, and like the Dallas Cowboy girls were there too, the cheerleaders.
Was the Mavericks owner there?
I think they were there.
It sounds like Johnny Cooper had his own Mission Impossible adventure to catch Tom Cruise. Like, did you chase after him like on a biplane and like he was also flying one?
I took train and I had my own train sequence. And then I saw like a plane, like sort of, you know, come very close by the train. And then I got on top of it. And then I had a parachute, and I parachuted my way to AMC.
And on that note, I think we should wrap things up because we're not going to get better than that. So that's everything we have to say about Mission Impossible: The Final Reckoning. Thank you all for trusting us one last time, and we'll return for more movie discussion eventually.
Yeah, like Five Nights at Freddy's 2.